Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere that you can find podcasts, make sure you subscribe. Leave us a five-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. If your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 54, then your company should be advertising right here on our podcast. Our audience is 95% men, and 78% of our audience is between the ages of 18 and 44. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products they learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise in their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable, so email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any inquiries. Cody, that was a little bit of a call at the end.
That was something else. Bulls 102, Kings 99, Chicago back in the win column on Saturday night at the United Center after laying a complete dud at Atlanta, which we can address a little bit
later. Bad. I'll just say it was so bad that Dwayne Wade tweeted an apology afterwards.
Yes, very rarely does that happen. And maybe on Sunday morning, Dwayne Wade can wake up and tweet a thank you to official Michael Smith, who gave him and the Bulls the gift of a W, because with the score 99, about 15-16 seconds left against the Kings, Dwayne Wade steals the ball from Garrett Temple, runs down the court, admits he takes off in the lane, maybe a half step, a step too soon, loses the ball on his way toward the hoop, throws it off back iron of the rim, misses a dunk, completely blows it. At the very, very tail end of that dunk attempt, affecting the dunk in no way whatsoever, Boogie Cousins, I think left hand barely brushed D-Wade's back.
It was not a good call.
A little bit.
Right? I was right baseline in real time, and when they called it, I was confused, because not only was it not a great call, but it was a really late whistle, too. Like, they had gotten the rebound. Sacramento had already started the fast break, and then they whistled the play dead, and they whistled the play dead, and they were so not ready for it that the clock just kept running for a couple seconds.
Yeah, like 3 seconds went by on that clock. Well, it was a really loud United Center, because when D-Wade's running down the court with a game-winning dunk attempt, everyone tends to yell, so I understand the chaos there. But Boogie was in complete disbelief. The ball bounded off the back iron. Kings got the rebound, and they had a 3-on-1 going the other way with like 11 seconds left. So think about this. Bulls are out of position. Dwayne Wade's under the hoop, under the basket, on the floor. Jimmy Butler, I think he might have been, I'm not sure where, but there were people all over, and the Bulls were scattered out of position defensively, and the Kings basically were going to have a fast break, numbers advantage, to win the game, probably.
Yeah.
And the official blows a whistle. After much confusion, they put the correct amount of time back on the clock. Dwayne Wade hits one of two free throws. Bulls can set up their defense, so they do set up their defense, and Dwayne Wade steals the ball again from Boogie Cousins. Great D by Taj Gibson and Dwayne Wade on that possession. Fair and square that possession. They throw it up ahead. Get a dunk. Kings miss three at the buzzer. So they win 102-99. But Dwayne Wade admitted the call was questionable. Taj Gibson called it sketchy.
DeMarcus Cousins said that it was completely correct, and he applauds the officials for doing a great job, and they don't get the credit they deserve. And then he literally applauded at his locker. Like, he started clapping.
And he has no complaints in the entire world.
Nope.
Which came minutes after Boogie destroyed a trash can on the way back to the locker room.
You can go to my Twitter if you want to see a picture of the overturned trash can.
You absolutely should go to at Hyken on Twitter, because it looked like chocolate milk was spilled on the United Center floor.
It was pretty
ugly. Trash can. So we can assure you that Boogie was sarcastic when he was saying it was the absolute right call in the world, because this is a game the Kings felt they probably should have won. It's a game the Bulls didn't play very cleanly. Well, I shouldn't say cleanly, because they didn't have a lot of turnovers, only 10. But they had some fighting spirit, but really they just couldn't contain Boogie, and they weren't efficient enough offensively for long stretches there for a while. So a game the Bulls had more competitive spirit and effort, which Fred Hoiberg basically called out after being down by as many as 34 points in the Friday loss at Atlanta. But again, that final sequence, Sean, like, I mean, we can go anywhere with that. What'd you think about just that chaos? Like, the Bulls really needed this, didn't they?
They really needed this win, and I think they're really not in a position to, you know, look a gift horse in the mouth when they get a game like this where maybe, you know, it was a questionable call. And in DeMarcus Cousins' defense, he was obviously pissed about it at first. And in his defense, it was a terrible call. Like,
yes. Awful.
They're going to put out the last 2 minutes report tomorrow, and I guarantee you it's going to say they shouldn't have called a foul there.
Yes.
So, like,
Boogie went for 42. So
42 points, 14 rebounds. None of the Bulls' bigs could do anything with him.
Yes. It was simple. So Robin Lopez guarding Boogie Cousins. Boogie just range jumpers in on him. Or if Robin inches up a little more, Boogie just takes him off the bounce, which I find absolutely hilarious. Not that Boogie takes bigger defenders off the bounce, but there were four or five times in the game when Boogie would bring the ball up the court like the point guard, and they'd go into like a 1-4 flat set or like, you know, Boogie at the top of the key, everyone else spread in the corners and wings, and he'd just create off the bounce like, that was them getting in the offense. Like, Boogie initiating the offense is absolutely awesome. So when the Bulls put a smaller guy on him, if Taj Gibson, Nico Mirotic, when Lopez was on the bench, if they brought him in, they just put him on the block and he'd go to work on the block. Like, they made it really simple. I loved a Taj Gibson quote after the game. Asked him about guarding Boogie Cousins, and he said, "I don't know what fighting an alligator is like, but it must be just like that," which I thought was just hilarious. He also compared Boogie Cousins to that 6'5", 13-year-old in AAU ball when everyone else is like 5'10". So everyone realizes the brilliance of Boogie, and the Bulls are lucky to get out of this with a win, not just because of that official's call, but because Boogie was so remarkable.
Absolutely, and they needed this win. They're now back to just one game below 500. They play the Orlando Magic on Monday, which... Or Tuesday, rather.
Yep.
Which is a game they should win, but there were a lot of teams that they should beat that they don't beat. So
yeah, and you know, Dwayne Wade addressed that after the game too, and like, this game again, it was some bad basketball early on and for some longer stretches, but the final few minutes were chaotic and really fun. But Wade said after the game, pertaining to that Bulls get up for big games and kind of are flat for games against lesser competition, he said, quote, "When we win three in a row or we're playing a team we should beat, we haven't been good in those moments. But in desperate moments, I actually like this team," end quote. Which is true. I mean,
it's a little bit of a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, but I mean, this was getting desperate. Like, they couldn't... desperate in the sense of, if you want to make the playoffs, you cannot possibly keep losing games like this.
If they had lost to the Mavericks and the Kings in the same week, that would not have been a good look.
Oh, that'd be awful. And it should be pointed out, too, on that final possession. First of all, Dwayne Wade's been much maligned for his defense at times this year. He made two huge defensive
plays.
I thought he was locked in for most of the night defensively. Had 30 points. I mean, this was a Dwayne Wade game. I know people just, they love throwing the word vintage around whenever an older player or whatever, but it was just a spectacular game from Dwayne Wade. Got to the free throw line 15 times. Taj Gibson, I mean, it was a good idea by Fred Hoiberg. I thought he went with Robin Lopez too long on Boogie Cousins for a lot of the time, because Boogie was just torturing him off the dribble and then on those jump shots. And I think, you know, you can live with Boogie draining jump shots on your guy, on Robin Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. But at some point when he makes so many, you finally got to go to Taj. And it was good to see Taj guarding Boogie on the last possession. I thought that was a no-brainer, because Taj can pester him a little bit more and be in his grill. And look, Boogie's comfortable taking opposing centers off the dribble. He's not comfortable bringing the ball up the court like a point guard facing a 94-foot full court press. So when Taj does that from 30 feet away on the right wing, and he got Boogie going one way, cut him off, got him to turn the other way, and didn't see Dwayne Wade coming. So really good D should be pointed out by Taj and Dwayne Wade on that last possession. Really dumb play by Michael Carter-Williams to lay the ball in and let the Kings throw it down court for a game-tying three. He could have dribbled out the clock. There were no Kings anywhere near. Fred Hoiberg immediately on the sideline, Sean, put his hands up in the air like, "What are you doing?" And he went out of his way in the post-game press conference, wasn't asked about it, just tracing through the end, pointing out that Michael Carter-Williams should have dribbled out the clock. Like, what is he doing?
That was not the finest moment of MCW's career, but that also, I should point out, that was the only points scored in this game by a Bulls point guard.
That's true.
Rajon Rondo only played 6 minutes. He played 6 minutes in the first half. He did not play at all in the second half, which I thought was interesting.
Fred cited it as a feel of the game. What did you read into it?
Well, he said that he thought Rondo was solid in the 6 minutes that he played, so I don't think this is going to lead to another benching. Like, because the last time Rondo doesn't play in the entire second half was the game against Indiana, and then the next game he got his first of his string of DNPs, which led to that. I don't think that's going to happen again. The other real kind of interesting rotational note.
Fred Hoiberg promised change, and this is change you can believe in.
Paul Zipser, baby. Zipsanity.
Your boy, Paul Zipser.
Zipsanity. Been driving
had
the train.
A career high.
He looked good.
13 points as the Bulls' newfound sixth man, at least for one night.
He's a player. Like, I actually think he's good.
I think he's okay.
Yeah, he's an NBA player.
You and I have different definitions of good. He was very good on this night. Very good.
Yeah. He's already had more relevant NBA moments than Cam Bearstow and Eric Murphy put together.
Correct. Unfortunately, his playing time is coming at the expense of Denzel Valentine, who took a DNP coach's decision, and also Doug McDermott, who played 20-21 minutes.
That was
only
bad
scored
tonight.
3 points, did not play well, and that's about five or six games out of six or seven that Doug's played pretty poorly in. Fred Hoiberg did cite Paul Zipser played 23 minutes, and he closed the game, which was important. Yeah. I think there might have been a few offense-defense substitutions late, but for the most part, he was on the floor all the way down the stretch there, knocked down 3 three-pointers, which the Bulls sorely need. The idea of him playing, I think, was getting him out there with Doug at times and Nico at times, and the Bulls always having two or three shooters.
I like that lineup they had in the, you know, a little bit in the first half that was Rondo with Doug, Nico, Zipser, and Felicio.
Why'd you like that?
Because, I mean, that's if you want Rondo to be effective, the way to have Rondo be effective is you put him out there with shooters. You know, Zipser, you know, theoretically Doug and Nico are threats from the outside. They're guys that the defenses have to at least respect. Zipser has shown a little bit of range. He can knock down the three. He had three of them tonight. I like that lineup.
Yeah, he was 3 of 13.
He can throw lobs at Felicio. He connected on one.
He's 3 of 13 on the season from three-point range coming in tonight, then went 3 of 6, so good to see him get that going a little bit. I think, I mean, just playing time is helpful. Obviously, we've talked about this a lot with the young guys not looking over your shoulder, knowing you have a little bit more opportunity. You're going to be more likely to be confident, know you'll get another chance next and not overthink it, I think. And the thing was, though, this is interesting. Fred Hoiberg, post-game presser, asked about Paul Zipser, immediately pointed out, he liked him because he's a two-way player. Doug McDermott has never been known to be a two-way player.
No.
I don't think anyone on the Bulls would even contend that if they had a truth serum or were talking off the record. And that's meaningful because if Paul Zipser can change the game, if he can be solid on both ends and not give anything up defensively and just play system defense and stay in there, and then just make the right plays on offense. I thought what he did best was, I mean, just make the right plays. Like, he shot when he was supposed to shoot. He passed when he was supposed to pass. He cut when he was supposed to cut. And there was never a moment where you're like, oh, the Kings just got a bucket because Paul Zipser just wasn't paying attention defensively.
Right, and I think that's an improvement from where he was a little bit ago. I was at the game in New York where he made his first start. There were times out there where he just, and that was his first time playing any real minutes that weren't just garbage time minutes. There were times when he just looked like he had no idea what he was doing out there, and I didn't see any of that tonight. He was in all the right spots. He was just kind of, he felt like, he looked like he was just comfortable out there, which, I mean, it's if he can turn into a regular rotation player and give them quality minutes, that's a good thing, but it's a little bit concerning that Paul Zipser has shown more development than Jaren Grant, Bobby Portis, Denzel Valentine. Those are the three guys that got DNPs tonight, and those are first-round picks of the last 2 years. That's not great.
And, well, actually, Jaren Grant's a first-round pick as well, as you pointed
That's
out.
That's what
just
I said.
Of a different team.
Right, but
when
they traded Derrick Rose for him, they were basically saying, hey, he's basically a first-round pick.
Yeah, for sure. So, that is, Hoiberg has more confidence in Zipser right now than he does any of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't like an experiment. I mean, in a way you can say it's an experiment. Like, if it had bombed and failed, probably wouldn't have tried it back out. But, like, Hoiberg did this not because there was some, let's play the second rounder and we need to figure out what his value is and if he can contribute. He did this because he literally thought Paul Zipser was going to give them a better chance to win after what he's seen over the past few weeks. And that's the status where the Bulls are at right now. I'd like to see Jaren Grant continue to get a few more minutes. I don't like him getting these DNP coach decisions.
He's getting jerked around a lot. He looked pretty good last night in the Hawks game.
Yeah, he did. I mean, the Bulls were awful against the Hawks. We figured out their third string is about 22 to 28 points better than the Hawks' third string.
Yeah.
I think it's the only thing we discovered about the Bulls on Friday night. I mean, that was just an atrocious effort and execution by the Bulls in Atlanta. I don't know what else there is to really say about that game other than really no one was invested in playing good defense or doing anything besides just hoisting jump shots offense.
They just didn't show up at all in that game. Now, real quick, before we go, we should probably address the Chris Bosh thing.
Address it.
Yeah. So, Mark Stein, for those of you who didn't see, Mark Stein reported yesterday on ESPN that the Heat are planning on waiving Chris Bosh after
March 1st,
which is the deadline for a team to sign him
with playoff eligibility.
And the reason they're doing that is because they're hoping that he's never cleared to play again, because then if it's on the one-year anniversary of his last game, and then if he's not cleared to play, he's been to forced medical retirement, then all his money would come off the books. But Mark Stein reported that the Bulls have interest, if he were to be cleared again, in signing Bosh and were, quote, at the front of the line to sign him next season.
Quote, already plotting for a run if he's healthy. Already plotting.
Yeah, that's interesting for a number of reasons. I don't know if it's a great idea for a variety of reasons. What do you think about it?
I think there's 0.000001% chance Chris Bosh is a Bull next year.
Is that because you think he's not cleared to play?
Even if he is cleared to play, I don't think the Bulls are going to shift him. You got to remember the Bulls. Okay.
Even though this is clearly a Dwayne Wade placating move because that's his boy.
I do see where that's coming from. I don't think the Bulls are going. Oh, put it this way: there's a lot more behind this. The Bulls got rid of Eddie Curry. What, 10 years ago, 12, 14
yeah.
years ago, in large part because of fears with his heart troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too young to remember all this off the top of my head, so only did a little skimming and reading, but, like, that's there. Their medical history they've screwed up a lot of medical treatments, problems.
Luol Deng's spinal tap.
It's sketchy, checkered history. And now all of a sudden you're going to put a guy who has blood clots and, as of right now, returning to play basketball is a life-threatening proposition for Chris Bosh as we talk right now. You think he's going to be thrown into the Bulls fray next year? Even if he is cleared by independent doctors, this organization needs to put someone with a previous life-threatening illness or medical issue into the fray, like 4 or 5 months later, like, get out of here. Like, no way. That's too much. This is more than just basketball. It would be a stark departure from their concerns with the same individuals. Paxson was there. I believe he was the GM at the time. And then you still have the Reinsdorfs in charge back then. Some of the same central key figures. And Gar Foreman, of course, was in the organization, didn't have quite as much power or as big of a voice back then when he wasn't GM yet, more of a scout and director of personnel, I think, in some form. Like, I just don't see that be a departure from how they handled the Eddie Curry situation as well.
Right, and the thing to keep in mind is that let's say, I mean, this is for any team that signs Bosh. I mean, I think the Heat, and I understand why Bosh is mad about this, he wants to play and he thinks that they're just kind of not clearing him because they want his money to come off their books because they want to rebuild. The Heat are doing the absolute right thing by not clearing him to play. And I feel like if you're another team, you know, you can take the gamble of, okay, if he's cleared to play by independent doctors, he's good to play, you know, we can sign him, he can help us. Let's just say that they were to sign, let's say Chris Bosh gets cleared by independent doctors,
yeah,
and then they sign him, and then something happens to him, the absolute worst case scenario, let's say, you know, something life-threatening happens to him on the court while he is with the Bulls. Then suddenly, you know, they're now the team that looks that's looked at around the league as you guys let this happen. And then how does that look to the rest of the league in terms of, how their medical stuff? How does that look to agents who maybe would have their players sign there in free agency? Like,
and I don't know where this Chris Bosh thing came from, as far as we know.
Mark Stein, is somebody who's not going to just throw something like that out.
Yeah,
there,
but it could just be from the agent side and them trying to drum up interest. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Doing the early background, just so there's names out there, so in case he is cleared, other teams think there are suitors.
For what it's worth, Wade told reporters in Atlanta yesterday that he's heard nothing about Bosch possibly joining the Bulls, and then those two are obviously pretty close. And a couple weeks ago, Chris Bosch and his wife were here at the United Center watching a game with Gabriel Union.
I honestly don't know. I mean, Wade is so sincere and heartfelt. Such good friends with Bosch from those days shared in Miami. I don't know if he wants Chris Stephen. Like, all he cares about is his safety and health.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the only thing Dwayne Wade cares about. Now, I don't even see, like, as of right now, maybe I'm being naive here, but I don't see any regard right now where Dwayne Wade has been, like, sent any messages to the Bulls front office like, hey, we should get Chris for next year. That, to me, makes no sense because, again, he hasn't been cleared by doctors, and they have such a strong bond that the only thing Dwayne Wade cares about, from the gist I get, is his health and safety. So I don't see Dwayne Wade planting seeds yet. Like, and I know this is early. Like, if he is cleared to play, then I could see Dwayne Wade doing it. And, again, maybe I'm being naive there, but just the gist I get and the feel and the vibe, like, I don't think this is sad. It doesn't fit from a basketball standpoint.
No, it doesn't, especially if they're gonna, if they're thinking about maybe rebuilding or going young, signing a 33-year-old Chris Bosh, who at that point will have not played basketball in almost 2 years because of this medical stuff. And it just makes no sense. I also just, I don't want Chris Bosh to die, so I kind of hope he's never cleared to play NBA basketball again.
Yeah, I want whatever. We all want what's best.
Chris Bosh is such a good guy. I don't know if you ever dealt with him before, but he's genuinely, especially when it comes to like the big stars in the league, he's such a good guy, and he's a really interesting guy, and he has a lot of interest outside of basketball. And he's obviously made plenty of money. He doesn't need the money, so he should. I mean, I understand. He must just really want to play if he's still trying to come back.
He loves the game, and one of the most overlooked storylines in the modern era of basketball in the last few decades, whatever you want to call it, is the sacrifice he made in Miami to make the Heat what they were, because you had three headlining scorers, guys who were 24, 25 point per game guys, and he's the guy who sacrificed and changed his whole role and accepted it without complaint and made the Heat work offensively and defensively with his ability to trap and everything. Before we get out of here, Sean, I did want to just throw one thing.
Sure.
At you. I know this is your favorite question, and by that I mean I don't think it's your favorite question, but straight up, Boogie for Jimmy Butler, who says no?
Bulls.
Bulls say no. Boogie was something tonight. Boogie was great.
He doesn't guard the other team's best player, and then there's also the...
He makes getting 42 and 14 look easy.
He does. There aren't any off-the-court concerns or locker room concerns with Jimmy either, though.
I agree with you. Bulls say no, but I think Jimmy and DeMarcus Cousins are like almost like 8-9 or 9-10 on the NBA pecking order. I think they are literally right there next to each other.
Boogie was incredible tonight. But yeah, I wouldn't do that trade if I was the Bulls.
Yeah, I'd have to think more about it.
Boogie's also going to get paid 1 year sooner.
Yeah, but they could both be on those similar contracts of $200 million, $230 million, whatever it is. But they're both remarkable basketball players. Jimmy Butler says that Boogie is scared of him should they meet in a one-on-one situation on the basketball floor. So that's why you didn't see Jimmy guarding Boogie one-on-one too much, because Boogie was actually scared of it. That's what Jimmy was joking about after the game. He was in a great mood. Also refers to Paul Zipser as Zip. So if you ask Jimmy Butler questions, don't ask him questions about Paul, because no one in the Bulls locker room calls their new sixth man, their new shooting star off the bench, no one calls him Paul. They call him Zip. You call him Zip Sanity, the Bulls call him Zip.
I don't call him Zip Sanity. I call him doing things on the court Zip Sanity.
It's all one and the same to me. So,
absolutely.
Bulls 22 and 23. They are currently the sole placeholders of 8th in the East.
Playoffs, baby!
And we will track this like no one else on Locked On Bulls, which you can follow on Twitter by the namesake Locked On Bulls. On Facebook there, too. Follow Sean at Hyken on Twitter, myself at Cody Westerlund. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. With any advertising inquiries, any questions, we'll take questions, I'm sure, later in this week. And as always, subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out all the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On NFL Draft. All 32 NFL teams have their own Locked On podcast. Conference championships are tomorrow, so you're going to want to get caught up there. All 30 NBA teams have their own Locked On podcast as well. And check out The Athletic to read my work covering the Bulls. Check out 670thescore.com to read Cody's work, and we will be back with you soon. Take it easy, guys.